I wouldn't trade being a mom for the world, but it's also a full-time job. And that means sometimes I get less sleep than I'd like. So I make the most of the hours of sleep I do get with Cozy Earth's luxurious bedding products. Cozy Earth bedding products are crafted with temperature-regulating technology that adapts to your body's needs through all phases of motherhood. And they use only the very best fabrics, materials, and weaves, offering superior softness that invites you to sink into a world of comfort. I have the king sheets for my bed, the entire set, and I swear to you, it's like you can't wait to get in and you never want to get out. If you're a commitment phobe, that's totally fine because Cozy Earth stands by the quality and longevity of their products, so much so that you can enjoy a 100-night sleep trial and a 10-year warranty on all purchases. And just for our listeners, Cozy Earth has an exclusive Mother's Day offer. Use the code Jillian for 35% off at CozyEarth.com. That's CozyEarth.com. Cozy Earth, built to last through the hardest days and the longest nights of motherhood.
When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day. So for those of you who don't know, we record several shows at a time, right?
Yes, we do.
We should just tell them the truth.
No, I think people know, but
yeah, we do. And sometimes we do the segments out of order, and then Janice will like say, "Oh, this segment goes better with that and this and that."
Yeah.
So today Janice came in with some ideas. One was about killing yourself if you have Alzheimer's. Then she ruined one of my weight loss segments by telling us that the family chicken had died. And then, Janice. Then she gave me this idea for a segment that I really liked called The Five Freedoms.
Right.
And I said, well, what inspired, what possessed you? Well, I was working on a poetry class and I was talking about feeling the need to save broken Christmas ornaments and then abandonment issues. What the hell's the matter with you today?
You asked me what inspired me to
but
share
you're like
the Virginia
death, dying and lost today. You need to go home. You're like Debbie Downer. We don't want to be around you. Did you miss one of our segments where I told you I've just been audited? I don't want to talk about this stuff right now.
Then do the five freedoms, because I think that's very good. Virginia Satir is the founder of modern family therapy as we know it today.
Okay. Everybody listen. You have five freedoms. I'm sure we could come up with more, but I like these five.
Okay.
Really think about this, guys, because I bet so many of you aren't practicing them. Number one, to see and to hear what is here instead of what should be, was, or will be. So you have the freedom to experience the world as it is. And what does it mean to you, Janice?
Say it again.
To see and to hear what is here instead of what should be, was, or will be.
Yeah, it'd be in the present. Should be's will be. Should be is regret. Will be is in the future. And
was is also.
And was is in the past.
Or longing, yeah. Regret as well.
Right.
Yeah. Stay present.
Present.
Okay.
Stay in the now.
Right. To say what one feels and thinks instead of what one should. No one does that.
I know. That's a tough
so
one.
So few people do that.
I know.
I do, but I'm not all the time, but a lot of the time. And it's not easy because people don't, it's extremely confrontational to do something like that.
Yep.
I mean, I've seen, you know who does it best are comedians. And they, I've watched like Chelsea Handler and Wanda Sykes and Ellen DeGeneres. They say things that you're like, I would get my, I would be eaten alive if I said something like that. And, but like comedians can do that and they do it with humor and it, they get away with it. But that, I mean, that's so important to say what you feel and think instead of what you think you should say.
Think you should say, yeah.
I mean, but when you do that, though, you're so out of your authentic truth. You're so out of alignment with yourself. And it's that is truly a recipe for misery.
Mm-hmm.
It really is. Like, if you want to talk about getting lost, say what you think you should instead of what you truly feel. You will get instantaneously lost in life. And the minute you do that, it's like a labyrinth of absolute, like, lost at sea kind of disaster.
Yeah, it's true.
Because you forget, once you do that, you're off your path.
Mm-hmm.
You no longer have a goal that you're heading towards. You're just constantly responding and reacting to where someone else is at. It's like, whichever way the wind blows, you're going.
Yep, true.
To feel what you feel instead of what you think you should feel. That one I love. Oh, my God. That one I've had a lot of with parenting. Like,
oh, really?
You think that you're supposed to feel all these things. And, but you know, what you feel from moment to moment is, you know, God, sure. I mean, of course, it's like, yeah, you're gonna feel in, like, madly in love and you're gonna feel overcome, you know, with love for your kid. But there are moments when you're like, oh, my God, like, there, you feel like a part of you has died. You feel like,
oh, I see what you're saying.
You know,
yeah.
you miss aspects of your life before the kids. There are parts of you when you're just so frustrated and you feel like a failure. There are parts of it that are really, really hard.
Mm-hmm.
And parts of it that are really, really amazing. This one mom put on my Facebook something in one of the comments. I loved it so much. And she goes, parenting, the best way to experience heaven and hell. I thought it was genius. I loved it so much. Because it is. It's amazing. But there are parts of it where you're like, this just cannot be this hard. How is this possible? But this is this hard.
Yeah.
Oh, my God. You know, and like, wow. I mean, there are moments with the toddler is easier for me. But there are moments with the baby where I'm like, oh, my God. This is so hard. You know, you don't get a night's sleep. For people go years and they're just like, well, you know, it's part of it. But I'm like, this is insane. This is crazy. But I think that having that freedom, and then there's that Dr. Seuss quote that goes, the people that mind don't matter and the people that matter don't mind. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, you might alienate a lot of people when you say what you feel. But the ones that matter aren't going to mind.
Yep.
And, you know, like Noreen Fendonca. Noreen Fendonca.
The one who wrote you the nasty note.
Don't threaten me with physical violence.
What'd she want to do again? Punch you in the head?
There was one that wanted to drop me off a building. One that wanted me to get punched in the face.
Drop kick you. Didn't she want to drop kick you in her garden?
There was one that wanted attack dogs to come after me.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah.
Boy, oh boy.
I know. Can't express yourself around Noreen.
Oh, don't. You know, I'm going to put that. Don't F with Maureen Van.
Noreen. Fendonca.
Fendonca.
Poor Noreen. People are going to be friending her on Facebook. She'll become like the cult leader of a Jillian hate group. Okay, the freedom. Part of me thought about starting them their own little hate page because I'm like, you're perfectly free to express yourself, but then you end up getting in screaming matches with the other people on my page. Like, why don't you start a page where you can sort of like commiserate with other haters? Just all collect in one spot. And Noreen can be the president. My name is Noreen Fendonca. I'm the president of the Punch Jillian in the Face Club. Okay. The freedom to ask for what one wants instead of always waiting for permission. I like this one. Because this is so important. If you don't tell people what you need or communicate your needs, people are not mind readers.
Yep. And people are so into themselves. We're all into ourselves.
Oh, it's so true. It is, but that's human nature. You're just like, and by the way, that's a very natural state. It's sort of your job to just get your stuff done. If we all took care of ourselves, the world would be a better place. If all of us were like, hold on, let me get my ducks in a row here and my S word together, that'd be awesome. But it is important that you communicate with friends, loved ones, coworkers, family members about what you need. And it doesn't mean that you become a pit of need or you become selfish. It's reciprocal. You give, you take, you give, you take. And this one I like the most. The five freedoms, the fifth one, to take risks in one's own behalf instead of choosing only to be secure and not rocking the boat. Another good quote. And it said, the more security you seek, the less security you'll have. But the more opportunity you seek, the more security that you'll gain. Think about it. There was a woman who, I think I've talked about her, Rachel the cake ball lady, right?
Yes, you've
Heidi
talked about
this. She makes these cake balls at the farmer's market.
Yeah.
She was a real estate agent.
Yes.
And she did it because she thought it was the responsible thing to do. And then the market bottomed out of real estate. And she loved to bake. And by chance, you know, decided so long, she went to a party and there were cake balls and she thought, I can do this better, and started making cake balls and built a little booming business out of it. Well, that's a risk. Pouring your savings into baking cake balls and you're going to become a baker, and which is how Mrs. Fields started. But the point is, she took a risk, and she's more secure financially from Rachel's piece of cake than her real estate license. So I think in life, if you're not taking risks, you're not living. And I'm not asking you to be stupid. You got to take calculated risks. You got to inform and educate yourself before you jump.
Right.
So I remember in Unlimited, I had an analogy, and it's like, look, if you're going to jump out of a plane, you don't just jump in a plane, you know, and barrel out. You got to go, all right, who's the best pilot? Who's done this before? What's the altitude you're supposed to jump at? What terrain am I jumping over? Who's packing my chute? How many chutes have they packed? Like, there's so many different factors you need to consider. You educate yourself. You prepare yourself as best as possible. Then you take the risk. And if you fail, you know the whole, it's an entry point for learning. But if you're not taking risks, man, you're not living.
It's true.
And you'll never get anywhere if you don't. Got to take chances. And you fail a lot. God knows. But Jesus, but it pays off.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, it doesn't feel good. I fail all the time. It feels like crap, but it's paid off. I do what I love. I make a good living. It supports me and my family. It's paid off. It's not fun to fail. It you know, it sucks, but you take risks. You educate yourself, and, you know, it's going to pay off. I like these, Janice.
Yeah, I like them too. I think they're good. She was a very, very wise woman. Virginia
Satir.
Virginia Satir.
All right.
Virginia Satir is probably the same age as Noreen
Vendonka. Is Virginia still alive?
No, she's passed. She died about 20 years ago.
So what are you suggesting, that Noreen Vendonka is really dead inside?
I agree.
Friggin' Noreen Vendonka. And she's got this, she looks like this little angelic old woman. Noreen Vendonka.
I really
vicious. Just... vicious little minx.
Well, I think people get a little worried that you're going to hurt somebody on the show. You know what I mean? People see it and they go, they don't see it for what it is. They see just you getting maybe upset at times, and they take it in a different way. I'm guessing that that's what she's mad at.
I think that the haters just, like, a lot of times they have a historical reaction. It brings up something in them. Like, they don't stop and go, how did this turn out? How does the contestant actually feel about this? You know, what was the end result? Instead, it's like, oh, my God, this, without it, them even realizing, I think it brings up something in them. And then they're just like, hey, I'm going to kill you.
No, but that's a great point.
I'm like, whoa.
Yeah, if you forget about that.
I'm like, girl, a little counseling maybe. Anyway. I like it, Janice. Good job.
All right. We'll be right back.
You've seen her as the star of NBC's hit show, The Biggest Loser. Now is your chance to see her live. Jillian Michaels, Maximize Your Life Tour.
It's time for you to ask, why not me? Why not me to be healthy? Why not me to be happy? Your health is the platform that your entire life is built upon. And when your health is solid, every aspect of your life will flourish. Join me as we motivate each other and maximize our lives.
Visit JillianMichaels.com for details.
All right, we are back, and Christina would like to talk to you.
Awesome. Hey, Christina, what's going on?
Hey, Jillian. I can't believe I'm talking to you.
Oh, well, thank you.
So, I guess you got my email.
I did. Here's the funny thing. I actually didn't get your email. Heidi got your email. Like, her favorite part of the podcast are the calls. So she was like, God, honey, there's a... There's a couple here that's having disagreements about parenting strategies, and she specifically pulled that one because we thought it was so funny. So,
right.
So anyway, with that said, I actually haven't seen the question. I just told Janice, I'm like, it's very important that we take this one particular question. And so fire away. And by the way, Phoenix is here. So if you hear somebody crying, screaming, or hammering in the corner, it's just my 10-month-old. Anyway, go ahead.
All right. So my partner and I both were previously married.
Okay.
We were, you know, in heterosexual relationships, and we from that came two children. She has two girls. 15 and 13, and I have a girl and a boy, 13, and my little guy is 9.
Okay.
So we've been together for 5 years and living together for about 2.5. Our parenting styles are dramatically different.
Mm.
So it creates conflict, to say the least. So
yeah.
I'm like the, I'm the stricter parent. And
me too. I am too.
Yeah. Expect, you know, certain things done and, you know, certain responsibilities, and she's more, let's talk about it, and we'll, you know, explain it to them over and over again, and then I feel like, well, nothing changes, and now we have to do, we have to take something away or create some sort of punishment.
Right, a consequence, yeah.
Consequence, because I say, like, you know, when you're speeding, you get a ticket. So she's with me now, so she just gave me a look.
Okay.
So I tell the kids, this is like when you're sweet, you know, you didn't do something now, you know, I'm going to take your iPhone or whatever it can be. So
right.
It creates huge conflict between my kids and I,
yeah.
Her kids and I, her and I.
Yeah.
Because it's constant friction, and we don't really understand how to, or I don't understand how to agree to disagree, I think, because she wants to talk about things where I feel like it's getting hammered into me to agree with her. And
oh, honey, does that sound familiar?
Yeah, I just got
exactly
poked.
Like that.
And and then I shut down because I feel like enough of this bullshit, you know, shit, and I can't take it anymore, and I just don't want to, you know, that's what happens.
Right. Well, and yeah, we've been there, too, where I'm like, if you're going to do it this way, then you get to deal with the consequences of it. Right.
Right.
Here's what I think, and I'll let Heidi chime in here and speak for herself. Has helped with us, because the importance of being on the same page is so critical, not only for your relationship, but for the kids, because of the consistency. One of the things that I have read, and of course our kids are a little younger, so we don't always get this right, is we try not to fight in front of them. Like, it's not about fighting. I think it's okay for your kids to see you fight as long as you resolve it in front of them, which is something that Heidi read and shared with me. But if it's about how to parent them, I definitely think you want to sort of present a united front. I think that's really important. And I think you guys need to sort of go behind closed doors and discuss, have you tried, what's the matter? You want your spatula? There you go. The kid, I can't tell you how many toys we've bought for this kid. You know what he likes? The dog bowl and a spatula. Someone shoot me in the head. Seriously. I don't fight it anymore, by the way. I'm like, here's your dog bowl and your spatula. So, you know, which will bring me to my next point about picking your battles. But have you guys sat down and discussed compromises? Because one of the things that Heidi and I will do is it's like, all right, we're going to try it your way up until this point, and if it doesn't work, then we try it my way.
Right.
Have you tried? Yeah. Or it's like, I'll say to her, you know, honey, I feel like Heidi doesn't want being... Oh... What happened?
Uh-oh. You may need to go outside, honey. I know you really wanted this call, but this is just a minute.
What's the matter? Yeah, he might be hungry. He sounds hungry. It's a hungry cry. One of the things that, forgive me. So one of the things we'll do is we'll say, all right, you know, we're going to try it this way up until a point. And if it doesn't work, we'll try it your way. Or we'll find a compromise in the middle. So, like with Phoenix, she doesn't ever want him to experience frustration, right? Because she had him. She's very much in that, still that very maternal preoccupation phase. Like, they're very merged at this state. And, you know, I'm coming in and I'm sort of like the father figure. And I'm like, babe, he needs to learn how to tolerate some frustration. He needs right. to, like, it's like, you can't always hold the baby. And then we fight, right? Because I'm like, this is not good for him. He needs to learn how to preoccupy. And she's like, I don't want him to cry. It's like, we go through this whole thing. So then we sort of had a moment, and I was like, all right, 30 minutes a day, this kid's got to learn how to play by himself. Can we agree to that? You know, where it's like, it's something that we can sort of say, 30 minutes a day, he's got a bunch of toys and he kind of has to learn how to self-soothe. Or, you know, we give him 5 minutes to cry before we go in the bedroom. Like, we find these things that are tolerable for her and more of a compromise. Have you tried that?
I guess not exactly. I have her here, so I don't know if you care if she chimes in.
No, not at all. Please.
Not exactly a compromise. It ends up being like, well, these are my kids and these are the rules I'm going to use.
Oh, no, you can't do that. No, 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 no. If you're a family, you're a family and they're all of your kids.
See, that's what I think. But it's hard because like she'll say, well, we had these rules before you came along and, you know, you had your rules. And I'm willing to, I'm definitely willing to bend on some of the rules, but I definitely want to see some of them tighten up. Jill's looking at me funny now.
Yeah, no, you can't. It can't be like that. And here's why. And this is one of the things that I've said to Heidi, because it's very easy to get into that conversation. And one of the things I say to Heidi is she's like, well, you know, I'll just deal with it, or I'll be the one that gets up 5 times a night or whatever. I'm like, I live here, too. He's my son, too. So, you know, we kind of fight about that. And we used to fight about it with Lou. And then we got on the same page. And by the way, when we did, it's like it was the best thing that ever happened for her. And she felt a lot more structure. She felt a lot more secure. And she felt like she knew when she was coming and when she was going. It was the best thing that happened for Lou when we got on the same page of when timeouts happened, you know, when bedtime was, how we handled, you know, the sleeping strategies, how we handled her eating, how, you know, when she gets a treat, when we just let her give up her food. Like, when we sort of came to terms, and it took a little while, and we did a lot of fighting about it, and then I said to Heidi, all right, you know, we'll try it your way here, and if it doesn't work, we go mine. Subsequently, we try it my way here, and if it doesn't work, we go yours. And then there were some times we found the middle. And the thing is, you cannot have a division within a family. If you're a family, you're a family. I don't care if it's, you know, they're your stepkids. I don't care if, you know, she gave birth to this one and you gave birth to that one. None of that matters. A family is a family, period. And you guys have to coexist and function in the same household as parents to these kids and role models to these kids, because they're living with you as much as they're living with her, because you two are living together. And if you don't respect each other as parents, then these kids aren't going to respect. That's another problem, is if it's like, well, I parent my kids this way, well, then you have no power in the household, because they're not going to respect you or your rules, which is why nothing is getting done.
Right. That's a good point, because I would say that's much of what I feel. It's not, you know, everybody, there's a huge division in things, and that's hard. You can't to live that way.
You can't. You cannot. No. You guys must come to terms, form some sort of a compromise, and get on the same page. And believe me, we're not always on the same page. And Heidi and I, we never fought about it. I mean, there was next to nothing that we would fight about until the kids. So why is she giving you the side eyes here? Why is compromise not an option? Because if you guys can't compromise and treat these kids as if they were both of yours, then this is not going to work. And I'm no expert and I'm no genius. This is common sense I'm giving you right here.
I agree. You give your perspective, Jill. what I think that we try to compromise, but it kind of blows up. It becomes more of like what I think, then what she thinks, but then why I think what I think, but then why she still thinks what she thinks. So there really has to be like that actual conversation of compromise, not just my story, your story.
Right.
And why my kids may identify with this rule where your kids do not. Or I have to be honest, Jillian, I don't feel like we've actually sat down in all this time that we've been living in the same house. We may complain about what we believe the issues to be,
right,
but we are not problem fixers yet. We have not sat down to really get down and dirty with the issues. And,
right,
and like you said, what you're not willing to be that negotiating about because some factor is so important to you.
Yep. Yes.
But I feel like a lot of that is because, like, I've made a list for my kids of stuff, and then you made a list, and rather than us sitting down and enforcing it, I don't want to say something to her kids because I have seen that blown up in my face.
Okay.
And
okay,
it becomes, like, I'm definitely seen as a harder one in the house.
Hold on, hold on. Two things need to happen here. Number one, you guys got to let go of the concept of being right. And you need to sit down and discuss what your thoughts are. So I get it. So one of you is saying, like, these kids need to take more responsibility and I want them to have chores. Now, if the other one can get on board with, yeah, I can see they need to take responsibility. Now, give that a structure. So it's like, so then where you're getting into trouble is how they do it, when they do it, how it's broached with them. This is where you need to say, I feel they need to take some responsibility and kind of, you know, learn that they need to be an active functioning role in this household. Do you or do you not agree? I do agree to this extent that it doesn't compromise, I'm speaking for you now, their homework, they're this, they're that. Okay. You know, you guys sort of go back and forth about where you agree, what the parameters should be for them being responsible in the house. Then as a united front, you make this sort of announcement to the kids of, guys, here's how we're going to do this. You're going to participate in the household in the following ways. And then you stand together. So that's really, I'm telling you, forget sort of the you do this and I do that and it's how you do it and it's how that, while there's truth to that, you guys need to sit down and discuss what you want from the kids privately. Get on the same page about what you agree upon, get on the same page about how you enforce it. And then in that conversation, like I said, you will have to make some, compromises, or what's the word I'm looking for? I can't find the word I'm looking for, but basically compromises. And then you see what works and what doesn't. Then you go back to the plate and it's like, okay, you know what? That didn't work. And Heidi will say with our daughter, you know, okay, you were right about that. Let's try it this way. And I'll say with our son, okay, you were right about that. Let's try it. Let's go back to a little more your way. And you kind of massage the situation over time. Not that we're any, believe me, not that we are pros. These are things that we are working on. And I'm telling you, these are the things that are working for us as we struggle with the very same issues you're struggling with. And
right.
But first and foremost, in front of those kids, man, you guys got to be on the same page. Otherwise, you will have no respect from them and no ability to actually enforce some structure. Does that make any sense?
Totally. Completely.
Can you guys do that?
We're going to try.
So guys, you need to go out to dinner together. I want you to go to a nice dinner because then you can't really fight in public. And then I want you to get a bottle of wine because then it's like, have a little glass of patience. Little glass of patience goes a long way. And I want you to come to the table sort of with your list of how you know, what you'd like to see from the kids and why it's important to you and why you think it will work. Then get on the same page about what you want for the kids. Once you get on the same page about that, then you got to get on the same page about how to approach it. And there, you're either going to find a middle ground or you're going to find out, okay, I'll try it your way, but if it doesn't work, then we get to try it mine. I hope that you'll try it. And really do it from a very empathetic place of listening to each other, trying to understand where the other one is coming from, letting go of being right, letting go of the past, and approaching it with all of your happiness and best interests in mind.
Right, right. Good point.
Okay, guys?
Great. Thank
you. Just
wanted
to let you know, we're going to be seeing you on your tour.
Ah! Awesome.
And in Westbury.
Oh, I'm so excited. That's fantastic.
Yeah. We're excited too. We have some fitness questions for you because we've been doing a Body Revolution and the Shred. So we have questions.
Are you VIP?
We are.
Okay, I was going to say, if you're not, I'll make you VIP because the VIP is the stay after for questions stuff. So, all right, I just wanted to be sure.
Thank you, Jillian.
My pleasure, guys. I'm really, give this a shot. If it doesn't work, call us back, but just try it.
We will.
Honey, do you have anything to add before I let them go? Because I know you were very passionate about this call.
I think
you were with me?
Okay, we are back, and Taylor wants to have a chat with you.
Hey, Taylor, what's going on?
Hey, Jillian, it's nice to talk to you.
You too.
Okay, so my question is, I'm a senior right now, and I recently quit playing basketball for my high school team. So now it's kind of, like, up to me to start losing weight, but I have, like, this fear of, like, gaining weight, and, like, it keeps, like, in the back of my mind, so... Like, how can I get rid of that fear?
Well, okay, here's a few questions. Number one, why are you afraid of gaining weight?
I don't know. I just don't want to be, like, overweight. I don't want to be, like, yeah, overweight.
Have you been overweight? Like, where is this fear coming from?
I mean, when I was younger, I was.
Okay. So you're worried about gaining the weight back.
Yeah.
I gotcha. Okay. Okay, honey. And why did you quit the team?
It was just like, I don't know, sometimes I didn't feel like part of a team, you know, and, I just kind of felt left out, so I just didn't want to be part of it. And I regret it a lot too, so.
You regret it?
Yeah.
Then go back.
It's like kind of late, too late now.
It is too late to make that change? Yeah. You sure? You talked to the coach?
Yeah, because like the season, like they, yeah, it's, I mean, the season's almost over. They have like one more game.
Oh, okay. It's kind of late right now. All right, honey.
Yeah.
All right. So first of all, okay, let's deal with the fear first. The fear. Okay, so you're afraid you're going to backslide. And what do you think would make you backslide?
Just like overeating, I guess. I don't know.
Mm-mm. I'm trying to get you to understand what would trigger you. So we know from a logical perspective that eating too much is going to make you heavy, right? But
yeah.
You're afraid you're going to gain the weight back. So then I'm saying, what do you think is going to make you gain the weight back? As in, what do you think is going to make you overeat? Because when you understand what triggers you, then we have a better chance of managing that situation.
So, like, what triggers me?
Mm-hmm, to overeat.
I don't know.
Not an acceptable answer, honey.
I don't understand the question.
All right. So when I overeat, it's usually because I've had a really bad day and I'm feeling like I want comfort. I want something, you know, I don't have the time to get a massage or I don't have the means for another outlet and I've had a terrible day and I want ice cream and a glass of wine. That's what I want. Or, you know, and it's like, well, what's a terrible day? But business went to hell in a handbasket. For you, it could be feeling picked on in school. You know, so you say you're afraid of gaining the weight back and you understand that gaining the weight makes you overeat. So I'm saying, what causes you then to overeat? When do you overeat? Why are you overeating? Because if you don't understand what's triggering you to overeat, you can't manage those things very well. But if you're not able to really look at that, subsequently you seem to understand what helps you keep the weight off. So then I would say, all right, where can we engage in other behaviors that help you keep the weight off? If having an obligation, like the basketball team, or a group sport, something about the community or the group environment feels good for you, where else can we recreate that for you? Can you go to like meetup.com and find, you know, basketball games in your area? Can you join a running group?
you know, on off of Craigslist. Do you see do you see what I'm saying?
Yeah. But, like, I mean, I think, like, when I overeat, it's like when I think about basketball and, like, when I regret it, like, I regret it 100%. Like, I kind of miss just playing the sport and stuff. And, like, whenever I think about it, it just, like, hits me. And I just, like, I just miss it a lot.
Okay, honey. So then here's what you need to think about. Okay, I regret this decision. I've suffered from this decision. Then we learn from this decision of, you know something? I felt rejected. And I allowed other people to control my future. I gave my power away. I let them push me out of a sport that I loved, that kept me in shape. So you make a promise to yourself never to allow that to happen again. And the next time you're feeling like somebody has put you on the outs, you think to yourself, this is their problem. This is their issue. This is not my issue. I love to do this. If they're uncomfortable, they can leave. End of story.
Mm-hmm.
So we learn a lesson from that. And now subsequently, let's get back in another sport.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know where else to, like, join to play. Like, I want to play on a team, but I don't know, like, where else to, like, really play. I mean, I play with my friends, but I want to, like, be in a league. Or not league, but just, like, I guess a league.
What about the Y? You know, like, you said there's, like, pickup leagues at the Y.
And there's 3,000 locations at the Y across the country. I know because we're putting Body Shred into the Y. So
really?
That's how I
know.
Yeah,
I mean, and I know, and especially, you know, I mean, as you say that the semester's
there's women's
kind
softball
of
teams. My friend Cheryl belongs to one. There's all kinds of stuff, sweetheart.
Yeah.
I want you to go on Craigslist. I want you to go on meetup.com. And I want you to go, like Janice said, to the Y. And then talk to your coaches. And find an extracurricular activity that you can engage in, that you like, that you enjoy, that's social, and that's fun. And you learn your lesson from this. And you don't allow yourself to be pushed out of anything again. Don't give your power away like that.
Okay.
Okay?
Yeah.
All right. Don't worry. We all make mistakes. The great part about it is that we learn from them. So that's your benefit. When something special comes along, you've worked this through now with basketball, you won't do it again.
Okay.
All right, kiddo.
Thank you.
Hang in there.
Bye, Taylor.
See ya.
Oh, those are the hardest years. Those high school, junior high actually was the hardest for me. But
I knew that when, you know, when you quit the team, man, there's just something more to that, you know? There's just something more to that.
You know, I hated high school so much. And I've talked about this before. I went from being a loser in junior high in the very beginning of high school to a loner. But what I did was I found extracurricular activities outside of school. So I was in martial arts. You know, I was such an uncomfortable and shy kid that I actually joined a theater group when I was a teenager.
You did?
As a kid, I grew up fat and awkward. Yeah, I was uncomfortable. I was uncomfortable around people.
Yeah, I
so
can
I,
see you. As
I
a shy
joined.
Kid.
I read a book. A friend of mine wanted to be an actress, and she was in theater in school. And it was an acting coach named Eric Morris, and he wrote a book. And I don't remember the name of it, but I read it when I was like 16 years old. And he was talking about, you know, getting sort of unfettered and like letting go of inhibitions and being in your authentic truth and not caring what people think, because actors, you know, can't do all the weird stuff they need to do if they're caring what people think of them. And it resonated with me because I cared so much what people thought up until that point. And so I remember I called the theater, and I don't remember. I think it was Jeff Morris, but I can't remember. I was only 16 and 17 years old. And I ended up taking classes every Saturday at their theater on like Cahuenga.
Right, right.
And it was really hard. I to this day, I still am very self-conscious. Like, you don't see me get up and like dance, you know what I mean? I'm not good, but you had to like walk around the stage like an ape and make these sounds, or like just do an emotion without words, or like they'd be like sexy, and I would die. Can you imagine? Like, imagine how bad I am now. Think about I would have been then.
Sure.
Or like angry, or like there was some I was good with, vulnerability, some I was okay with, some I wasn't. Anger I can do all day long, but like vulnerability, ugh. So I ended up taking those classes, and I actually became friends with a lot of older people in their 20s. But of course I had this older group of big brothers in martial arts. And then I had this kind of older group in this acting theater. So they weren't kids. It wasn't like you don't fit in. It was very much sort of ingratiating. But I found that vibe where I needed to find it. Mm-hmm. So if it's not in school, don't beat a dead horse. Move on and find it elsewhere.
Right. And you made a great point. There's so much stuff outside. There is, if you can, A, if you can afford it,
yeah.
If you can do it. And if you can get there, if you've got the means of getting there.
There's free stuff, too, though.
There's like, free stuff,
that's
too.
That's why, like, yeah. With meetup.com, like, you can go on and you can find, oh, there's a football game in my area. Or, you know, there's a game at such and such park at 5 o'clock. The guys are playing basketball. Like,
right. All the pickup games,
yeah.
For sure. Yeah.
All
nope, right. That was very cool.
Now what?
Well.
Uh-oh, it's bye time.
It is. It's,
see how quickly I leave these days? Look at me. I'm like, see ya. Bye.
I know.
That's what happens with kids. I'm like, gotta go. Have to go. Because I see Heidi in the back of my mind alone right now with two kids.
No, the best
visual.
Oh,
my God.
I won't extend this, but the best visual of Heidi when she was waiting for you was that damn paddleboard. And just the visual of her waiting at the window with the two kids
hanging off of her.
You're like,
yeah.
Oh.
Steam is coming off of her, off of her head.
Yep. Oh, my God, Julie,
yeah,
that's the best damn story.
That's all
ever.
I think about, by the way. I'm like, this have to go. Everyone's like, when does she need to be done? I'm like, 5! Because her sister leaves at 5 o'clock. So from 5 to 8, like, that's when I have to get home and be with my kids and do my part. I've got to go, which means goodbye.
Okay, all right.
Peace,
all
bye.
Right.
If you like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger, I've been friends with her for 10 years, one of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore. Because it's here. And it's funny. And I love you.